This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, True Story listeners. My name is Thomas, and I help make the podcast. A quick announcement before we get into this very funny episode. As you probably know, Tig and Cheryl have busy schedules, but still take the time to record the show while they're traveling. This week, some internet issues cropped up, and we had to use Zoom audio for part of the record. About 14 minutes in, both Tig and Cheryl don't sound quite as good as they normally do, but don't worry, they're as off-topic as always. Thanks for understanding, and thanks for listening. Now on with the episode.
Hey, Cheryl. Hey, Snorkbulls. I just want to explain some things. Cheryl sounds like she's in a well or a can.
I have some issues in this podcast, but you know what? Our listeners are really good at timing it, playing it by ear. By the way, you know, we made a pipe drink on our live show, and it was not a crowd pleaser.
It was terrible.
However, the tartmini was off the charts.
The tartmini was delicious, and I have to say my mother would have been very proud that her little name for a martini turned into an actual delicious drink.
I was thinking maybe we should bottle it.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. Anyway, in this episode, my voice is going to be weird at some point.
There's also a lot of mention of tugboating, and you'll finally learn the actual definition of tugboating. But I think we should get into it.
Let's get right into it.
We know what you mean.
Okay. Ladies and jerks, welcome to Trainwreck Woodstock 99.
It all started when Tig and Cheryl met in the mid-2000s.
Hey, nice to meet you, Tig. I'm Cheryl Hines.
Hi, Cheryl. I'm Tig Notaro. Should we do a podcast about documentaries?
Yes.
A podcast about documentaries?
Is this microphone on?
Five furious frogs fiddling faintly. Furious frogs fiddling faintly. Five furious frogs fiddling faintly.
I am the first ever podcast. And Tig and Cheryl are following in the sound of my footsteps.
Let's get started.
I'm so ready.
Tig and Cheryl.
True story. Hey, Tig. Hey.
Hey, Cheryl Hines. Hey.
How's it going?
Good. I mean, we had a crazy night last night, and then you got on a plane and you flew away.
I know.
How were your travels after such a rager of a streaming show?
I mean, do you want to know the truth?
Of course.
I just broke down in tears at the check-in.
Oh, no.
No, I don't want to get emotional talking about it. No, because it's parents' weekend. I made these reservations before school even started.
Yeah.
And when I got here, they said, oh, yeah, your reservation was canceled. I said, what?
What?
It wasn't canceled. And they said, well, you were supposed to check in yesterday, but I didn't check in yesterday. And I had someone call and cancel my Thursday night because we were doing our thing. And so I was like, for whatever reason, it really sent me into a real emotional state. And I was like,
yeah,
I need a second. And this bird, this young guy is probably like, I don't know, 21 or something. He watches me walk off and then I'm, you know, making phone calls, trying to get to the bottom of, what happened? And try to pull myself together. And I walk back over there because I'm like, okay, I got to get to the bottom of it. I made these reservations so long ago and it's parents weekend and now everything's booked. Right. And I really thought I had gathered myself. And I said.
But you didn't.
Mm-mm. I said, so I made this reservation a long time ago. He was like, oh my God.
Was he like, ma'am, did you just watch Hands on a Hard Body?
He was like, he said, I'm just going to give you the room that you had booked. I mean, we already promised it to someone else and they're going to be mad, but I can't watch you be so upset. He said, I can't take it. He said, and he's like, it's okay, really. It's okay. It's okay. So anyway, here I am.
Oh, okay. I was going to offer to call up my friend in Dallas and have her put you up.
That's very sweet. No, I got it all. I got it all set. But it's never cute to lose your shit at check-in. I was like, this weekend is really important to me. He's like, it's okay. It's okay. He really did not want me to say one more word. He's like, it's okay.
It's like you watching a man cry.
Oh, I can't.
Where it's like, nope. I'll just do what it takes to get you not crying. I'm sorry you had that experience today.
Oh, thank you.
And does Kat know that? This happened?
Mm-mm. She has no idea.
Okay. She doesn't know her mother flew out there and was crying at check-in?
No. Hopefully she never finds out.
Does she know her mother was streaming live, slapping her friend in the face with a tortilla?
I don't think so. Night? I don't think so.
Probably not.
I think she just saw the highlights on Instagram. That was probably enough. Mm.
Now... Before we move on,
yeah,
I just want to acknowledge what Thomas told us last night, and that's that a lot of viewers were claiming that the Sean Hayes FaceTime call was staged.
Yeah.
And that's where I say they don't know what it's like to be friends with Sean Hayes, because Sean Hayes mostly only calls me on FaceTime. And anytime I call him on FaceTime, he's picking up his phone ready to do something weird and ridiculous, such as just sitting
like
down
a comedy
playing
bit.
The piano. Yeah. And then hanging up the phone. Like when I said, okay, bye, he had no problem. He was just like, bye, and hung up the phone. And we still haven't talked since he played the piano on our streaming show. But I'm here to tell you.
Yeah.
That was not staged. That is what it's like when you are FaceTiming Sean Hayes.
That is really funny. And just so our listeners, this happened last week now, our live show. Mm-hmm. But yes, so we called Sean and you're right. He does a comedy bit, straight face.
Always.
He answers the phone and then just starts playing the piano. And... He did not know we were calling. He also did not care. And you're right. And when you said goodbye, he just hung up.
Yeah.
Like that's a normal, like every second of the day,
normal.
He's just getting FaceTimes.
Yeah. Well, that's normal for my relationship with him. So anyway, I just wanted to clarify that that was not staged. I don't stage things.
No. I was very impressed that he answered. By the way, I mean, not to make it about me, but I was also impressed that Ray Romano answered, because I don't know one time in the world where I've ever FaceTimed him.
But see, here's the thing. I said this to Stephanie last night, that I feel like people are more likely to pick up a FaceTime because it's that feeling of like, oh, that's weird. Ray Romano is FaceTiming me. Whereas a phone call is more likely for people to be like, ah, I'll get that later, or they can text me, or I'll run into them. But a FaceTime, you're like, what? What on earth?
I guess I got to get
and
this.
And you see Melissa McCarthy, somebody's going to show me something. Sean Hayes. Yeah.
Dr. Becky Hines, who I very rarely FaceTime.
Uh-huh. But she picked up and saw my face. There was one more thing from last night that I wanted to say, and I can't remember what it is. Oh, I know. When I got home last night, Stephanie said, did you cut your neck? And I said, no. And she said, are you sure? Because it looks like there's blood. And I felt like I was caught in an affair because I had to tell her. I was like, oh, no. Cheryl was doing body shots off of me.
With tagine.
Yeah, she was licking tagine off my neck. So thought I'd let
How
you know.
How did Stephanie take it? She was probably like, did she care?
Oh, okay. And then she laughed. And then we went in the other room and talked about this movie we're working on. But she thought it was funny. But she wasn't alerted to anything.
She wasn't threatened in any way.
No.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
I told you last night, I think she'd probably just yawn and fall asleep.
Okay, Tig, I feel like we should really get...
Yeah.
We've got a lot to cover. We've got a lot to cover today, so we should jump in. Today, we're talking about Trainwreck Woodstock 99. It's a 2022 three-part docuseries directed by Jamie Crawford. Using extensive video footage, it depicts the escalating disaster that was the 30th anniversary revival of the iconic Woodstock Music Festival. Trainwreck Woodstock 99 is available to watch on Netflix.
Were you familiar with this?
I wasn't, you know, and it's weird because, I mean, I was young then. It seems like something, but I don't remember. I didn't watch a lot of TV, so I wouldn't have been following it on, well, I certainly didn't have the money to pay-per-view it.
Yeah.
But I also wouldn't have been watching it on MTV.
And as they mentioned and reminded the viewers, there wasn't social media then. So, you know, whereas these days, everybody would have been posting and tweeting or whatever about it. So, yeah, I had no idea.
Like Fire Island.
Yeah, I had no idea about this.
The Fire Festival. No, I didn't either. Yeah. It's weird, isn't it? It's weird.
But it was quite an ordeal. You'd think that word would have... It, you know what it goes to show is... Whoop, there went my gavel. it goes to show that when you think something is such a big deal in life...
Yes.
And sure, it might be, it probably is, it is, but people, not everyone's thinking about you or talking about you.
Yeah.
And
the way you think they
are. Yeah. That Woodstock, with bands that big and that much of a horrible time go down, that... You didn't know about it. I didn't know about it.
Well, we want to skip to the end.
Okay.
But no, we didn't know. Yeah, we didn't know about it. But yeah, like you said, but also interesting, and we'll get into this, is the bands that were featured, they weren't like the sweet.
Peaceful.
Love is the word. Yeah, it was Limp Bizkit and Korn and Rage Against the Machine. Rage Against the Machine. You know, they were like crazy.
Yeah, very
wild.
Jacked up, high energy, intense.
Guys without shirts, sometimes without pants.
Yes, yes. There was a person without pants.
You did see a lot of penises.
You saw a lot?
I mean, I freeze framed it every time it came on. No, I didn't. No, but it's always interesting and, you know, you take note when you see a guy, because it's always women being naked and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, look at that.
Yeah. Yeah. We paused it at our house and we were like, oh, what's that?
And the guys.
Yeah. We're like, what is that?
You were like, oh, yeah, we made a good choice. Yeah, it's never as cute, the ball sacks coming at you. It's like, it's not cute.
Look, you've made a decision in your life that has called for that to be coming towards you for years, whereas I opted out.
That it's called for that.
Okay, can I say something? Just so the listeners don't think that they're insane.
Okay.
I was having technical issues.
Typical.
And I had to log out, and now I'm having to use a different microphone source, so I may sound different now.
And her microphone source is her cell phone. She's basically... Well, there, to call it a microphone source is ridiculous.
She's, I want people to think that we're more high tech than this.
No, no. But
no, we're not.
That's adorable. Listen, you know what, Cheryl? We actually need to take a break and we'll come back.
Oh, listen, God.
You're okay. The one that was having all sorts of technical difficulties. So we'll take a break and we will be back on Tig and Cheryl, True Story.
True Story.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we are back on Tig and Cheryl True Story.
True
Cheryl
story.
Is on
okay.
her cell phone, and we are about to talk about Woodstock 99.
Okay, so for those people that don't remember this, or maybe you do remember, I think that was a very... certain group of people that would know about this.
But, millennials?
Millennials that like to headbang.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So one of the two people in this documentary, Tom and Keith.
Yeah. You mean Beavis and Butthead?
Oh, my God. That's exactly what I was going to say. I mean, when they talk, they sound exactly like Beavis and Butthead.
Well, Stephanie and I started calling the guy, the blonde-headed guy,
yeah.
Beavis and Butthead. Like, he was both of them. Very nice guy. Very likable
very
people.
Sweet.
But,
very
sweet. Yeah, maybe
they
if
were
they're
16
listening. 16
years old. Yeah, they are. Hey,
Beavis and Butthead, hey.
Butthead, hey.
But if they are listening, maybe they'll be dazzled to know I was in the Beavis and Butthead movie. Braggadocious alert!
Woo, woo. That is impressive. Do you think that those guys ever, I mean, certainly they've heard that before, right? We're not the first one to call them.
Oh, it was glaring. And that had to have been why they had them come in studio and talk.
Right.
I'm sure they were like, we found Beavis and Butthead.
So they were 16 years old and had never been to a concert before. So they recollect their time there. And also someone named Sarah, who grew up in a conservative home and attended the festival as an act of rebellion.
Yeah.
And her hope was to, quote unquote, get as fucked up as possible. Oh boy, did she ever.
Oh my gosh. I hate crowds. This documentary, what?
Crowds. I do too.
Oh, I would much rather be home on the couch with a friend slapping each other in the face with tortillas. But watching this, I was skeeved out by the amount of people and porta potties.
50,000 people, and then people just standing in the hot blazing sun. It was like 97 degrees.
No shade.
No shade. And then there was a mosh pit where people were just slamming into each other. And, you know, I went to, not that this is about me, but I went to a Beastie Boys concert when I was in my younger days. And I was very excited because we were at the front. And I thought that was exciting until people were, they were like squishing me.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got to a point. Have I told you this before?
I don't know. I don't listen to you.
No way to know. There's no.
I tune you out as soon as you start talking.
At some point, I had to have the security guard lift me up and pull me over the little fence. And then I just sat on the side the whole time.
You got it right. To party. No, yo, you got to fight. That's it. You got to fight for your right. And you.
For your right. I was sitting there on the side like, mm-hmm.
You raised the white flag. You did not fight for your right.
I didn't. I would have. Do you imagine me at this Woodstock festival? I would have. I mean, listen, you know, they showed some people, they were so desperate for shade. There were people that were crawling under trucks just for the shade of it, which, by the way, is not a good idea.
No,
But I understood they were desperate.
Yeah.
They were desperate. And these two guys, John Cher, he was a successful rock promoter. And they brought him on for the event. And Jeff Rowland. Oh, I guess when they were trying to break the champagne bottle to get it all started. That was awkward. He had it like wrapped in a, first of all, that was kind of weird too. Why do you wrap your champagne bottle in a bag? Like,
well, they had it wrapped in a tie-dye shirt.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't
you know.
That. Yeah. And he couldn't break it. He couldn't smash it.
He couldn't get it done. Oh.
Then they were saying maybe this is an omen, and mm-hmm. it was. Oh, also, there was someone named Heather. She was a 14-year-old nerd who was quote unquote a virgin and then some.
Yeah, I tried to picture what the and then some was.
What? I can't figure out what the and then some is.
I was picturing hands coming off of her body, like somebody that had hands on her, but it was just they were all coming off of her body, like they were releasing their touch and their grip of her, and then like in reverse.
Well, see, I guess she was like, you know, when you're making out in high school and you go to first base and second base and third base, maybe she was just like stuck at first base,
or if she was in the parking lot. Maybe she didn't even know there was a game. Sounds like maybe she didn't know.
She didn't know.
There's no way to know.
There is no way to know. By the way, I didn't remember this either. A 94 revival of Woodstock was rained out. I guess they tried to do a 94 Woodstock, and it rained. And for whatever reason, people just started, they like broke into the fence, and then everybody got in for free. And it was a financial flop.
Uh-huh.
Although the music was amazing.
Was this one a financial flop?
You know, they didn't really say.
Yeah.
But for this one, they were not about to let that happen. They built a giant wall. This mm-hmm. This took place on a, what was that? Like a big...
military base?
It was an abandoned military base. So there was a lot of asphalt, and when people got there, they had to walk like a half a mile on a tarmac.
You know, peace, love, and military base. It's like the absolute opposite of peace and love.
And just like sitting in grass and just singing mm-hmm. the sounds. This was like,
Just grooving.
And these guys, who was the main guy? Michael Lang. So Michael Lang was he was going to make sure that this was successful and that, yeah, people needed, it needed to be a financial success. Did you get that feeling?
Yeah. Well, didn't they partner with a Coca-Cola?
Yeah. So that was the problem. Then they, whatever you call it, with the vendors, farmed them out. That's not the terminology.
But people get it.
They get it. You guys get it. And so then the vendors set whatever prices they wanted to. And then the concert putter together verse.
Promoters.
Okay. Yeah. They had nothing to do or say about the prices. So that was a big part of the story, is that the food and water cost so much that these young kids, you know, they're like 15, 18, 20. They don't have money for
a $12 bottle of water.
Yeah. There was a lot of nudity. A lot of
nudity.
Oh,
God.
God. I mean, it didn't look comfortable, I'll be honest with you.
No, the only place that looked comfortable that had shade was the porta potty. That looked very comfortable. Have you ever, okay, you've used a porta potty.
Yes.
Have you ever sat down on the seat?
No. Who's sitting on the seat? Nobody should sit on the seat.
There are people, I'm sure, that just go in there and sit on the seat.
Don't do it, you guys. Don't.
Yeah.
That can't be. And don't you try to hold your breath for the whole time you're in there, and then you run out, and then it's like, oh, God, what happened?
I would much prefer to just go in the wild, and I don't care if anyone's looking, than use a porta potty.
So if you were at this, you would just be like off to the side.
Or right in the middle of the mosh pit. It doesn't matter to me. I'm not going in a porta potty.
Those people would not have cared either. That would not have turned a head.
Also, I am very rarely drawn to situations that call for porta potties.
Yeah. But you know, now fancy people have fancy parties and they don't want you to use their bathroom in their house. Have you noticed that?
Don't care. I'm gonna go do it in the driveway. Not going in a porta potty.
There are very upscale fancy porta potties.
Braggadocious alert. Look, like I said before, I'd much rather spend my evening on a couch with an old friend slapping each other in the face.
With a tortilla.
Yeah, we didn't need a porta potty last night.
No, we didn't. No, we didn't. And you know who we saw in this doc, if you will? Oh, I don't remember seeing Metallica. Did you see Metallica?
I don't think they were in the
in the actual. But we, you know who we did see?
Hmm.
Cute little cutie pants.
Oh.
Oh, you don't know who that is.
Cute little cutie
Cheryl
pants.
Crow.
Oh, Cheryl Crow. Yes.
Oh,
okay.
And she had her short hair and she was so cute. And
mm-hmm.
Boy, she was like the polar opposite of what was happening at that concert.
Yeah. She would be one of the only people you could call cute little cutie pants, because I was thinking certainly shouldn't mean James Brown. Certainly she didn't mean Fred Durst.
No.
No.
No. No. And then during her set, of course, the guys, there was a lot of really gross testosterone going on in this thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know what was happening. It was like, as some people like to call it, a sausage festival.
Why don't they just have a festival called Sausage Fest and it's all men and they just serve sausages? Why not?
I mean, they might as well.
Yeah.
Because then the guys are like, oh, where are the girls?
There's no mistake of where you are if you're going to Sausage Fest.
You're getting a sausage.
Yeah. What do you serve? Sausages. We have to take another break.
Oh, okay. All right. We have a lot to talk about.
And we'll be back to discuss it all here on Tig and Cheryl. True story.
True story.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we're back on Tig and Cheryl True Story. Okay, tell us what happened.
Okay, here's the thing about this document. Did you find that every time they were like, day one, oh, God, can't get worse. Then day two, they're like, no, God, it can't get
worse.
Well,
that clock gave me a lot of stress. That counting, yeah. The tick, tick, tick. I was like, oh, no.
I mean, day one, okay, day one. It was just the guys were going crazy. They were yelling at women and take off their tops. And a lot of the women did. Cheryl Crow did not.
She had a good, so cute. A good zinger.
Yeah. Tell them what it was.
It was basically, if I show you my boobs, you would have paid a hell of a lot more money for this show or something. Something like that.
Y'all,
but it was good.
A lot more money than this.
Yeah.
Something. It was cute.
Yeah.
So then Bush played. Who else played? There was one band that really got people going. Oh, Korn. Yeah, Korn with a K. By the way, I can't name one Korn song. Can you name a Korn song?
Well, it's not just Korn with a K. It's Korn with a backwards K.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't know any Korn songs. But I'm curious why they called themselves Korn. But not too curious, but a little bit.
Yeah, we don't need people to write in. but if you're Jonathan Davis, hey, Jonathan Davis, hey.
Hey, Jonathan Davis, hey. Yeah.
And I'm sure you're listening. You can DM me, slide in my DM. Remember when Amanda Knox did that? That was fun. That was really fun. But yeah, they, like, Korn really got everybody riled up.
Mm-hmm.
They riled up the audience. They went crazy. And then Bush came in and tried to bring, he was so cute. Who's the singer of Bush?
Gavin Rossdale.
Yeah. How cute is he?
I mean, he was cheating on Gwen Stefani with their nanny.
Oh, I didn't know that. I don't know. This is going to change everything at the end. Okay. and then day two,
mm-hmm.
Now the festival is deteriorating. There's trash everywhere, and it's not, you know, you can't really blame the kids there because there were no trash receptacles. There were a few and they were all piled up and there was just trash everywhere. And the porta potties were beyond disgusting.
Yeah. Like where you're not going to want to go sit down on the seat.
No, nobody should.
Ooh, it reminds me of that clip that I saw once of the show Jackass, where Johnny Knoxville gets into a porta potty that everyone had like gone in. Mm-hmm. And then they rolled the porta potty down a hill with him in it. Oh, my God. Why?
And then did they show him afterwards? Was he just covered in?
I didn't see. All I remember is being just mortified that far in, and maybe I blocked everything out.
Why would somebody volunteer to do that?
Well, because you're a jackass. He's a jackass.
You're a jackass.
Yeah.
It's what you do. It's what you're known for.
Yeah.
Over 1,000 people were treated for heat exhaustion. I mean, people are just like dropping left and right. There was not enough water, and the water, people were lined up to try to get to the water fountain. And then they kept raising the price of bottled water, and people were getting mad. Kid Rock came out in a fur coat Even though it was 100 degrees, and then he, I guess, brought it. And we were headbanging and jumping and
hopping.
A lot of shirtless men.
A lot of tugboating. Just nonstop tugboating this entire weekend.
There was a lot of tugboating.
Cheryl, do you think tugboating is going to take off and it's going to come back around and we'll be somewhere and somebody will say, oh, yeah, she was totally tugboating?
Yeah, I think for sure it will.
Okay.
I think it will.
And Thomas just reminded me that there's so many people that maybe didn't see our streaming show masterpiece. And to start off the show, I explained that I finally figured out exactly what tugboating is. And everyone laughs because they know deep in their heart that, yes, this is what tugboating means. Tugboating is no matter who you are, no matter the gender or lack thereof, when your privates peekaboo out of your shorts or bathing suit, you know, maybe you're riding a bicycle and you got shorts on and whoop, something pops out. You're tugboating.
You're tugboating and you should tell a friend.
Yeah. So there was a lot of tugboating at Woodstock. I imagine at every Woodstock, every iteration of Woodstock, I imagine there was so much tugboating.
Yeah. But it seems like the one in 69 had to be cuter, had to be less aggressive tugboating. Just like, your tube top fell down. Well, I guess that's not really a tugboat, is it?
No, that is. Any private part that peekaboos, that's tugboating. But yeah, in 69, people were like, oh my gosh, I'm so, you're tugboating.
Okay, Limp Bizkit came on. I mean, it's kind of the same story. Like every day, headbangers would come on and rile the crowd up.
By hopping
and screaming, let's break shit. And then they started tearing stuff down. And then on day two, a Fatboy Slim. Wasn't their song Right About Now?
Oh, yeah.
So Brother Check It Out Now. But then when I was watching it, is he, I don't want to say only a DJ because that's not fair, but does Fatboy Slim just like,
I don't know. I have something very honest to share with you.
Okay, thank you.
I didn't follow Fatboy Slim's career. I just didn't.
I mean, I did like that song.
Okay, well, you should have gone to Woodstock 99 and sat on a porta potty.
Check it out now. Yeah, why didn't those people leave? Why didn't these kids leave? And by the way, how did they get there and how did they get home? Doesn't matter. It's for a different day.
I bet some people's moms dropped them off.
Oh, God. Can you imagine? I know. Can you imagine dropping your 14-year-old daughter off?
No. Or son. Anybody. Can I imagine dropping my worst enemy off at Woodstock 99? No. I wouldn't even do that to...
Okay.
That's not true. I drop her off there. Go ahead.
Oh my God. Okay. So day three. Okay. Day three. So far we know that people are angry. They don't have anything to eat or drink. And now the porta potty have gotten so bad. And since there was no water, no drinking water, these kids were so wild and destructive, they just broke the water pipe. So now water was just going everywhere. And now it's mixing in with
feces. Everything.
And now you want to hear some of the attendees talking about the conditions on day three?
Yes, please.
Okay.
By Sunday, it was like a refugee camp. I mean, it looked like what you would see on the news, with just tent city garbage, and it was disgusting. It smelled so bad, and there's like nowhere to wash off because by that point, the shower station line was so freaking long, people just got mad enough, but they smashed the pipes. So it was just like this river, a mix of the showers and the nasty runoff from the porta potties.
Gross.
Most people didn't realize it was shit mud.
Oh my gosh.
But by the way, when you're watching it, you're watching these guys play in the quote unquote mud that's right next to the porta potties. They couldn't smell it. They didn't care. They didn't care.
Yeah. Also, there's no way to know.
Yeah, because when you watch Beavis and Butthead, they didn't care. They were like, we had the time of our lives.
I mean, I can't believe. But also, that girl said she did too, and that she, did she say she would do it again?
Yeah, the virgin and then some.
Oh my God.
Yeah, she said she'd do it. And then Sarah, who went there because she really wanted to get fucked up, at some point they realized that the water was contaminated. And Sarah, oh, this is sad to say, especially if it's Monday morning and you're eating your croissant and drinking your coffee.
Nobody was. Oh, I thought you meant that somebody was having a croissant at Woodstock. Oh, but anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, Sarah got trench mouth. Ew.
Had you ever heard of that?
I mean, I've heard of it, but I didn't, until she described it in detail, I didn't really know.
I don't know if I'd heard of it, but again, I mean, I cannot, I can't encourage these people enough to find themselves a good friend, sit on the couch, take the night off, and slap each other in the face with gluten-free tortillas. That was the other hilarious thing about the fact that Cheryl bought gluten-free. Is it because you thought I was gluten-free? Because everyone thinks I am just because I'm vegan.
Well, I mean, it does seem like you have a lot of restrictions.
But go ahead.
I mean, what are they usually? They're usually
full of gluten. Gluten-filled tortillas.
So yeah, that's all I saw.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I saw that one, but the point is, listen. Okay, I'm just going to tell you what happened.
To get back to the tortillas, you don't have to have gluten-free tortillas even if you're vegan. If somebody's slapping you in the face with them, it doesn't matter what's. And also, the gluten-free tortillas fall apart. Did you know that? Whenever we were slapping each other, they would just rip.
Well, you were slapping me very hard. Like my.
You were slapping me very hard.
I mean, I was like, "Whoa, my face is stinging."
What if we were at Woodstock and we were in the middle of like one of those just disgusting circles of people, and we were just in 1999 slapping each other in the face with tortillas? Anyway, back to the documentary.
Here's what happens. Things get worse and worse. Okay, now it's day three. Things have been terrible. And now the Red Hot Chili Peppers are playing. Uh-huh. And by the way, Flea is completely naked.
Tugboating. Flea is tugboating.
He was kicking it up a notch.
Yeah.
So we saw a lot of that. And then I don't want to call them idiots, but kind of the idiots that were in charge at the festival decided to hand out
candles,
tens of thousands of candles to the angry mob.
Who are drunk on drugs.
Who are drunk. So many drugs. And I mean, everyone sees where this is going. I'm not spilling any.
Did it go well? What happened? Tell me the happy ending.
It was very beautiful for a moment. They all had a really nice vigil. They were trying to stand up against gun violence. And then suddenly somebody set something on fire. And the next thing you know, there are a lot of fires. And then now they wanted a Michael Kiedis. Is that his name?
Yeah.
The singer.
Anthony Kiedis.
Oh, I was confusing him with Michael Keaton.
Who cares?
By the way, I did a movie with, who cares? my first movie, Herbie Fully Loaded, where I played Michael Keaton's love interest. That's not nothing.
Braggadocious alert!
Anthony Kiedis. So they wanted Anthony to go out and tell everybody to to move aside so the fire truck can get in. And according to these people, he said, that's not what I do. They're not going to listen to me anyway. And he went out and sang, which I don't blame him, honestly. Okay. It's not really his. Did you blame him? Were you like, what the?
No, I don't blame him. But I feel like if somebody asked me to do it, I probably would. But
yeah, I mean, I'd do it.
Yeah.
But if I was a Red Hot Chili Pepper, I'd be like,
yeah, I was going to say, we're not in the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And we don't go out and just purposefully tugboat everyone.
Mm-mm. And then at some point, they left. The Red Hot Chili Peppers left. And the quote-unquote kids, they just started setting rows of trucks on fire.
Yep. Things were exploding like bombs.
Yeah. And the guys, the guys, Michael, what's his name, that had set up the whole...
Michael Lang.
Was like, Michael Lang, he was like, well, that's unfortunate because it was going so well. And just a few people misbehaved.
Just a few people had diarrhea on the ground. But other than that...
And by the way, you know it's bad when the MTV crew is like, we got to get out of here.
I know. That was like an intense moment when Kurt Loder from MTV was like, we got to leave. We got to get out of here.
We got to get out of here.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I don't even want to say this part because it's too awful. I'll just say that as reports came in after the festival,
mm-hmm.
people were saying that they were violated, which is,
Yeah. I didn't know you were going to talk about that, which is terrible. I thought you were going to talk about how they tested the water later and found out everyone had been drinking poop water.
Poop water. I mean, how was, yeah, everybody must have, okay. Anyway, you guys.
It was not a success.
Wow. Now, how can we end this on a more pleasant note?
Well, that there will never be another Woodstock.
Well, I think if there ever is another Woodstock, it should be like, more loving. Like, I don't know that we need headbanger, go kill your neighbor. Oh, God, I sound old. Forget what I just said. Don't leave that in, please. Don't leave that in.
Well,
I think maybe music festivals, listen, people don't think through them. What are they called? Like when you're thinking through like the water and the porta potties and the
tugboating,
you know, who did think through the tugboating fully was Flea. He was proud as a peacock, if you will. And it was kind of exciting, he was just happy to
flop around.
Shakers, please hold.
Shakers, please hold.
He was having a ball.
Yeah.
Okay, that's enough. Jake, are you ready for Happily Ever After Thoughts?
Yes, I am.
Going to give our final thoughts on this week's documentary. Did you cry?
No, but I gagged repeatedly.
There was a lot of gagging. Oh my God. Okay. Now I feel like I've really asked myself, because who were you attracted to? See, I had mine all figured out and now.
Sheryl Crow.
Oh, shoot. Can I have Sheryl Crow too?
Well, I'll fight you. Well, I'll slap you in the face with a tortilla for her.
But by the way, she was so cute in this with her short hair, wasn't it? So cute.
Yeah, that's why I choose her.
Okay, same. Same deal.
Yeah.
Dig, before we go, you want to do some quick fan mail?
Yes, I do.
Okay. This is from Kate. Hey, Kate.
Hey, Kate. Hey.
Yo, Dig and Cheryl. Yo. Oh, I'm really switching it up. I recently discovered your podcast from my friend Andrea. I'm a few days behind, so yesterday I was catching up on the Inside the Mind of a Cat episode. Here, Carl. Midway through, Cheryl describes to Tig what the yips are after they talk about the cats getting the twisties. Later that night, I turned on my new favorite show, Curb Your Enthusiasm. That must be how I knew it. Episode 5, the Larry David sandwich, and Larry is describing to his lovely wife, Cheryl. Okay, this makes sense now. About the yips, because he sees a shaky golfer earlier in the day. What a coincidence. I never knew what the yips were before yesterday, but thanks to Cheryl's enlightening entertainment, I am now an expert. I can't wait to learn more from you. Your student, Kate.
Boy, is she misled.
I did not even remember that that's how I knew what the yips were. Okay. Well, thank you, Kate.
Thanks, Kate.
Okay, here's one more, Jessica. Hey, Jessica. Hey.
Hey, Jessica.
Hey, Tig and Cheryl. I love your podcast and look forward to it every week. I often listen in my car on my way to work, which means I sometimes get distracted from the podcast, not the road. During this week's episode, I was momentarily distracted and heard a super creepy male voice growling out of car stereo saying words that made no sense. It was
that was
especially
me.
Chilling because I thought it must be Mr. Thomas doing some very unusual and unwelcome bit. I bet Thomas just starts doing something really weird.
He goes rogue.
I have come to rely on Thomas's steady presence and comforting voice. So you can imagine my relief when I realized it was just Tig. Tig, I hope your cold is all better and that you never do that terrifying voice again. Thank you both for another happy Monday. Jessica, no, you can't even do it. Oh, no. Okay, no. There was something really weird about your voice that day, I have to tell you.
Okay.
Tig, that's it. Do you have anything to promote? No, boy.
I do. My other podcast, Don't Ask Tig, is coming back, so check that out. I will be in Honolulu October 7th. I'm going to be at a festival in Delaware on November 4th. I don't know what town or what festival, but it's a small state. Just find me. Come to the show. And every other show coming up, which there's already some for the new year, go to tignotaro.com. What about you, Cheryl?
Oh, boy. You know, it's the usual. Let's be honest. It's the usual. Mm-hmm. I've got Curb Your Enthusiasm, About Fate, which is a real fun rom-com.
Should we do it again?
Yes, Tig, let's do it again.
Tig and Cheryl True Story is hosted by me, Cheryl Hines, and Tig Notaro. It's produced by Thomas Ouellette, audio engineered and edited by Thomas Ouellette, with production assistance from Bobby Pearson. Music by David Sussin. Special thanks to Gabby Kobasic, Patrick McDonald, and Stephanie Allen. Follow us on social media for updates and review and rate True Story on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. You can email us at tigandcherylTrueStory@gmail.com.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.